So I wrote a blog post on this, on the causes of lower back pain and its relationship to kicking, particularly kicking in freestyle. You can read that on our on my Smooth Strokes blog. But I want to talk a little bit more about this lower back pain in swimming. Because many people come to swimming, especially older adults, and they're like, hey, my neck hurts or my back hurts, and or particularly something on land is hurting, you know, in their spine. So they want to come into the water where it's going to relieve some of that. But just any old swimming is not necessarily going to be safe. Just being in the water itself and swimming any old way is not necessarily going to remove their back pain. As a matter of fact, it could make it worse. So when you come into lessons, the very first thing that we concentrate on is improving your spine alignment so that your whole body down the spine line is moving or positioned properly to remove the stress and remove the risky points in the body line. So the place that a lot of people feel discomfort is either in their neck or particularly in their lower back. And the very first thing that we want to do to clean that up is we need to put the head in neutral. And if you're in freestyle stroke, putting the head in neutral means you looking straight down at the bottom of the pool. Like if you stand up, if you stand at attention, you look in a mirror, you're going to be looking straight ahead, perpendicular to the direction your spine is aimed. So that's the neutral position for your head while standing. Well, that's also the neutral position for your head while you're laying down in the water. As a matter of fact, for all four strokes, you want to keep your head in that position as much of the time as possible. Now, there are reasons that you occasionally need to tilt your head up and look where you're going. You're coming to the wall, or you're afraid of running into that swimmer that's coming along, but you want to try to minimize as much of that looking forward as possible and keep the head relaxed and in that neutral position. Because what happens in the neck is going to echo all the way down the spine, and you will also cause problems in the lower back. So if somebody comes to me with a lower back pain, I'm first going to see what's happening with their neck and see what we can straighten out there, and then we'll work our way down the spine. And so the neck is a big culprit. What the tilting of the head is a big culprit for lower back pain. Another culprit for lower back pain is engaging the core, and that term engaging the core is so vague. I make effort all the time to really explain what we mean by that. So in the terms of engaging the core, it's not about contracting, it's not about squeezing muscles in, it's about lengthening the body. It's like standing on your tippy toes and reaching for a high shelf in the kitchen. It's that kind of lengthening that's what's creating the firmness of the core. It's not from contracting in, it's from stretching out, making your body longer. The muscles inside your abdominal region and down through the pelvis and into the thighs are going to straighten out, and they're going to firm up through the stretching. Just as if you stretched a rubber band, the rubber band becomes more taut, doesn't it? That's what you want happening in the middle of your body. Then the third feature of that is the tilt of the hips. And it may be helpful for you to do some core strengthening work that works specifically on helping you tilt the pelvis upward, the front of it up, so that the pelvis becomes flat, so they say. This kind of this idea of having the pelvis flat. I'm not really going to bother to explain that here, but you can look that one up easily about what does it mean to level your pelvis. In a way, it's like you're going to flatten your lower back slightly, not extremely, but slightly. That's what happens when you're tilting your pelvis up. And there's muscles involved that help that pelvis tilt and hold there. And for a lot of us in modern world who do a lot of sitting, these muscles get really weak and underused. They're just detrained. And so they're not good at holding us up. So we walk around with this forward tilted spine. And if any women out there and you wear heels, those are horrible on your pelvis tilt and on your lower back and all sorts of things. I'm sorry, I know they're cool and I do think they look attractive, but you know what? They're just, you know, they're just not good for the body, period. So if there's any way you can let go of those and transition out of wearing heels, that would be really good for your pelvis and your back. Because we want that back to be relaxed and aligned, and we need to reduce the curvature in that lower spine a bit. But we have to do it through alignment and then strengthening the muscles that maintain that position. So that's the same thing for us in swimming. So if on land you've got this forward tilted pelvis and you've got weak spine stabilizers and weak abdominal muscles, when you jump in the pool, it's not, your spine is not going to automatically like align itself in the right position. No. As a matter of fact, it's going to probably be harder to do because you're laying down, you're horizontal, you're virtually weightless in the water, and the feedback for how your pelvis is tilted and how your lower back is positioned is so much less than if you're standing for a period of time on land under gravity. So we're actually at a disadvantage at feeling what's happening in our spine alignment, particularly in the lower spine, when we're in the water. So we have to concentrate on it even more to bring it in there. Now in the pool, the thing is, when you're swimming along in the pool, every 25 yards or meters or whatever, unless you happen to be in a wonderful 50 meter pool, every 25 or 50 meters or so, you're stopping, you're changing body position, you're doing a flip turn or whatever, you turn around and you get going again. You're kind of disrupting the position of your spine and the muscles are kind of shaking out, and then you turn around and you go again. So the tension that you are creating through poor spine alignment is being covered up by this little change of body posture every time you come to the wall. Now, if you got out in open water and you were going to swim continuously with no stops for a half an hour or more, and you had a misalignment in your spine, if you were in your neck, you're looking forward, or if you had a kind of a collapsed pelvis in the front, guess what? Your body would start to get a little sore in these spots. And you would start to notice, hey, why is it doing that? Well, it would reveal that because there's no rest now and the strain on these muscles will be exposed more easily. So that's something that really happened for me when I moved to the Mediterranean and was living there for those 8 years, swimming open water continuously and now swimming longer and longer continuous distances. I started to notice the consequences of a little bit of strain in my neck or a little bit of strain in my lower back. And so that motivated me to work on it. So now I'm turning around and motivating you to work on it in the pool, even though you may not be aware that this is happening for you. So there's that basic alignment. Head is weightless. The pelvis needs to be leveled. And then you need to stretch the body out, probably more extreme than you think it is, needs to be. Just as if you were standing on tippy toes, reaching for a high shelf. Then what I talked about in that article on the blog was the flutter kick. It's very popular. It's also very useful in many situations in swimming. But think about it. When your feet are fluttering along at this fast tempo, the hips need to work with it. The hips need to swing with the legs to some degree. But the upper body, the arms, are moving and the upper body is pivoting at a much slower tempo just with each stroke cycle. And the upper body's rhythm is different than the lower body's rhythm. And those two parts of the body need to separate somewhere in your body. And guess where that's happening? In your lower back. So you're fluttering along with those legs, and the front of your body is going along, stroke, stroke, stroke. Somewhere in your lower back, two sections of vertebrae are moving opposite of each other and twisting and turning. And just think about that. That does not sound like a recipe for a comfortable back, does it? No, it doesn't. So guess what? If you have any sort of misalignment to go on top of that, that's going to put two compounding conditions together and could increase the risk of lower back pain. See how that works? So a two-beat kick is going to bring the legs and the hips into coordination with what the upper body's doing, and it pretty much unifies the lower back, so there's no contrary twisting between vertebrae anymore. And then when you really make sure that your head is aligned and that your pelvis is leveled and your body is stretched out in that tippy toes way, now you've got a back that's in its best position for remaining relaxed or comfortable for longer periods of time while you're swimming. Okay. So I just wanted to talk about a little bit about that, and that's particularly for the freestyle stroke. We would have some of these concerns as well for breaststroke and butterfly and backstroke, but we would need to talk a little bit more about the specifics of those strokes and the ways that we need to move appropriately in those strokes and the ways that we could deviate from that ideal and cause problems in the lower back. But those are other discussions for other times. All right, we'll talk to you later.